9:10 in the morning. Ah, my favorite rocket man. He wasn't even in outer space. Spike Odell joins us. Good morning, you little space nut.
Rocket Man. I love that song, man.
So how wrapped up were you in the twins study and Mr. Kelly being in outer space for you? Did you follow that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I watched it, pretty regularly. I just got all the updates, the tweets from space and everything. And I follow the whole thing to see. This is just preparation for going to Mars, man. That's what that was. Just getting ready to go to Mars.
Well, we know Matt Damon can grow crops there, so why would we worry?
I love that movie too. Yeah, you remember? I was just thinking about that before it came on the air. You remember way back when? Remember the Gemini program?
Yeah,
Gemini 4. Sure. Ed White opened up the space capsule, and he was the first American to walk in space. And they knew they had to learn how to do that before they could ever build any space station, you know, way down the line. And they found out it was very hard to do. So they had to go learn how to walk in space. Actually, Buzz Aldrin was the guy that perfected the spacewalk, the old MIT graduate and second man on the moon. But
you remember what Buzz Aldrin told us he did first?
I forget which story he told. What was
first guy to pee on the moon.
He soiled himself. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's kind of like what this is all about. People don't realize, you know, when they got out of the capsule last night, when they landed over in Kazakhstan, they had them do some things that they're going to have to do when they get to Mars, because you don't have, 18 million people with helicopters and an ambulance waiting for you when you land on Mars. So they got to make sure they can walk.
Yep.
They can turn corners. That's very hard to do. It's even hard to see when you get gravity back into your system for the first time. While liquid pools up behind their eyes, they become farsighted. They're in this dense kind of a space fog.
Really?
So, oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know any of this.
Complains of that, yeah.
So how long does it take your body to rebalance if you're okay?
Sometimes weeks it does. Although, I watched some video even this morning of them as they were being paraded around Moscow, or back at Baikonur, actually, is where they were. But they seemed to be doing pretty good. I was very impressed with how well they turned out. But people don't realize, being in space, they're just up there floating around. Just to maintain their health, they exercise in space strenuously for 2 hours a day.
What type of anti-gravity
cocky? That's like you and me.
Totally, absolutely. My body's a temple. It's a Buddhist temple. Yeah. What type of exercise can you do in an anti-gravity atmosphere?
Well, pretty much anything you can do. They can run. They lift weights. Only thing is, when they run, they have to put bungee cords around their shoulders to strap them down to the machine they're running on. Just to give them that feeling of gravity, something holding them down.
So the same thing with the weights, because the weights would weigh less if.
Absolutely, it's pretty much resistance weights
got
up
it.
There, you know. So
got it. So what do we do with the information we got back? Because one of the things they studied was in this twin study was digestion and the digestive comparison. And this was a Northwestern study. The digestive comparison between the twin in outer space and the twin on the ground.
Things change in space. I mean, your body changes in space. Actually, he's coming back even a little bit taller than his twin brother because of his time in space. So that's all the stuff that we don't know, which we want to know.
Hold on a second. He grew?
Yeah, because there's no gravity pulling your spine, all your body weight down on your spine. You actually expand a little bit. Yeah.
Dave, this could be good for you. You always wanted to be 6 feet tall.
Yeah. No, I'm very
Dave
encouraged.
Dave would never get that hair in a helmet.
Oh, yeah, good point, Spiker.
That's true.
Hi, Dave. I love you.
Love you too, Spiker.
Thanks.
What is the thing that surprised you about this study? Or about this mission, I should say. Anything at all? I mean, keep in mind, we're not the space geeks you are. So talk to us as the idiots that we are.
First and foremost, it wasn't what it was advertised. How many days are there in a year, Cochran?
365 currently.
Why did they only spend 344 in space then?
What?
They advertised it as a year. False advertising.
What? 344?
Well, it was all due to scheduling when they could get up there and get back. So this was close enough. So they did close enough for comparison. But What surprised me? I don't know. I want to see what the results are. What surprised me, I guess, first gut reaction, is how good they acted. I mean, I don't know if you saw the video of him, but he bounded right out of the helicopter. Some of these guys, I remember guys on 2-week space flights in the space shuttle coming back, and they can't get off the gurney because they're throwing up.
Yeah.
So bad.
Right.
But he, man, he looked great. And I think that's due to what we have learned, you know, the exercising, keeping yourself, physically capable.
Well,
and everything.
And there's things we won't know, right? Because nobody spent a year in space before.
That's right.
Far as long-term illnesses or long-term health benefits from that.
Yeah. One of the things they had them do, they wanted to see, as soon as they got out of the capsule, they had them stand for 30 seconds. They just wanted to see if they could stand up for 30 seconds. Because, you know, when we land on Mars, you're not going to, you know, get pampered by all these medical teams waiting for you there. You got to get to work as soon as you land on Mars. So they wanted to see if they could, A, stand, and then they had them do a test where they would put 1 foot, you know, kind of like the sobriety test.
Sure.
On the side of the road, 1 foot in front of the other and walk a straight line for a while. They wanted to see if they could turn corners because they have a hard time with all that fluid readjusting, you know, in your inner ear and throughout your body. You have a hard time figuring out how to turn a corner, literally, after you've been in space that long. So just little things like that to see if they can hit the ground running on Mars.
Well, we have a new resident space geek here. He's host of the Opening Bell. Steve Grzanich, say hi to Spike.
Hi, Spike. How are you?
What be shaking, Steve? I've heard you. How are you?
Good. I'm glad to hear you're a space geek. I am, too. A big, big-time space geek.
All right. So, Steve, any other additional thoughts on the Kelly mission?
You know, I'm just concerned that he's reported vision problems, more vision problems.
Well, Spike said it's going to go away. Dr. Odell says we're going to be okay here.
There are some other astronauts, though, who it has not gone away, and they still have lingering vision issues. And so that they're still studying that to see if, you know, we can handle that long space trip to Mars.
The fluid, the way I understand it, I don't know what you're reading, Steve, but a fluid builds up behind the eye, and it makes them farsighted. Even if they were nearsighted when they left the Earth, they come back farsighted a lot of the times, which is kind of a weird deal.
And some of the astronauts are also reporting when they get back here on Earth, they're seeing flashes. I don't know if you've ever closed your eyes, maybe smacked yourself in the head, and you kind of see stars.
Yeah, I am right now, actually.
The astronauts.
Hi, buddy. Love you.
The astronauts see this when they're in space, but they've also, it's been a recurring thing when they get back, too, that they're kind of seeing these things. And they're wondering if that's sort of the, you know, the radiation coming through the spacecraft.
Yeah, Jerry Leninger, who spent, he was the guy on the Mir space station when it caught on fire and everybody thought it was all over. He's got relatives in the Chicagoland area, and he would come and we would talk. Several times we talked. One of the things he told me, we were talking about what it was like after you get back from 6 months in space, let alone a year.
Right.
And he said, the little things you have to get used to again. He said, it hurt like hell, those were his words, to take a shower. The water drops hitting his skin hurt. He would hide in the corner of the shower.
You're kidding.
And just kind of get himself a little bit wet and then, you know, and try to rinse off. It took a long time for the shower not to hurt. People don't realize that gravity is a different deal, and you don't feel it really, they say, until the tug of the drogue chute really pulls on you when you've come through the atmosphere. So
here's the thing, too.
There's a lot of weird things you're going to have to get used to.
Well, think about the adjustments when you come back. Like, take out the garbage. I don't care, Mr. Astronaut. You're home now. There's a lot of things.
Say, I can't walk and make a turn.
Right, I can't turn. I just keep walking with
you
the garbage. I'm going to keep walking with the garbage in a straight line. You're going to have to come get me.
Here's a cool statistic, though, guys. Spike, you probably know this, but Commander Kelly traveled on this mission 143 million miles, and that just happens to be the exact distance to Mars.
Ooh.
So that adds to the science.
Yeah, and you know what? To put that into perspective, you know, it was a big dang deal when we went to the moon. I mean, we didn't know if we could do it. We did it. We went. We came back. But think about it. Going to the moon is just a little short 4-day hop.
Right.
You know, you jump in a rocket, you ride for 4 days, you get out, you plant the flag, you come back another 4 days and you're home.
Right.
It will take the best part, depending on where Mars is in the orbit around the sun at the time, but it will take the best part of a year to get there. and the best part of a year to get back. So this is not just a trip to Kroger.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, dude, it's like any afternoon on the Eisenhower. It always feels like a year.
They better get up and stretch their legs on that mission.
That would be great trading.
All right,
for Mars,
here's what I want to do, Kev. Tell me if we need a break first, but I want to do a an astronaut quiz, an Apollo off between Spike and Steve Grzanich to see who the bigger space geek is.
Classic Apollo off. I like it. We could take a break and circle back.
Apollo off. Okay,
yeah, we'll do an Apollo off. Stand by.
Circle back. See what Kevin did there?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And Spike, if you win and Steve loses, Steve goes into immediate retirement and you come back and get up at 5 and do the opening bell.
Okay. Excuse me. I'm still fighting a cold here.
That's all right. Hold on there, Space Geek. More in a moment with Spike Odell. It's 921 and 720 WGN. Nine 24, talking to my friend Spike Odell, my friend and your friend. And Steve Grzanich is here. It's a geek off more than an Apollo off, I guess, right, Spike?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm happy to hear there's another geek out there like me, yeah.
And yeah, Spike has a little bit of an edge on me.
No excuses. Well, excuses.
Can I just
excuses.
Can I tell you one of the best pictures that I have of myself is I was born in 1968, I'll just tell you that. And the best picture I have is my dad holding me as a baby watching the moon landing on television.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah,
it's
very cool. One of my favorite. Very cool.
All right, so Kevin, you're ready with the bells and the buzzers.
Yep, all set.
I'm going to turn this over to Andrea Darlis, famous game show host for the Geek Off.
No.
First question goes to Spike.
First question, Spike. Which Apollo mission took the first astronauts to land on the moon? Apollo what?
Oh, that's a gimme.
Apollo 11.
That's a gimme.
So this is how
it's a total gimmick.
That would be July 16th, 1969.
Oh, look at that. All right, all right. Here's a tougher one. Who joined?
No, wait. This is for Steve now.
This is for Steve.
Okay. So you're going to give him the impossible answer?
Yeah.
We're setting this up for Spike.
Who joined Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin on the Apollo 11 mission? I'll give you three choices.
Don't even give him the choices.
All right.
You got to know this. Did Steve's mic fail?
I'm here. Actually, I'm just.
Did Steve's mic fail?
It's.
I can't leave his last name.
It's a buzzer.
Exactly, Mike Collins.
Oh, man, I tried to help you, dude.
Tried
to help you. Question number two for Spike.
Question number two. Apollo mission what involved in the first live television broadcast from a space flight was?
From a what?
Apollo mission involved in the first live television broadcast from a space flight.
Well, Apollo 8, when they went around the moon and they read from the Bible that time, yeah.
Apollo 8?
It would be Apollo 7.
Is that right or wrong?
Apollo 7.
Well, what happened on Apollo 7?
Apollo 7, the Apollo mission involved in the first live television broadcast from a space flight.
I don't remember Apollo 7.
Really? Okay.
That's according to this, yeah. All right.
Apollo 7 was what? That was Shira and Walter Cunningham,
Walter Cronkite. Walter flew into space.
Walter Jacobson.
Roger Mudd.
Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, Walter Jacobson was on that flight. Bill Curtis.
Next question.
Mrs. Brady.
Next question.
Actually trained to actually go. He trained with the astronauts he was one of them.
Okay.
I do remember that.
Next question. Steve Grzanich. Yes. Apollo 11 launched on a 363-foot-tall rocket called what?
The goes boom thing. The goes boom thing with the fire.
I got it. Yeah, go ahead, Spike. Go ahead.
Steel.
Saturn V.
Yeah. Saturn V.
It's about 500 feet tall, though, isn't it?
All right, give Steve a question to try to catch up.
All right, here we go. Steve's question to try to catch up. What was the Apollo mission on which astronauts used the lunar module as a lifeboat to return to Earth?
Apollo 13.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
That's right, isn't it? Paul?
Yeah, of course it's right. Yeah, of course it's right.
And everybody thinks it was Captain Lovell who said, "Houston, we have a problem." It wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah, you know who it was?
Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it was Tom Hanks. It was Tom Hanks who said, "Houston, we have a problem."
Okay, yeah. The Apollo 11 command.
This is Spike's question.
All right, Spike. The Apollo 11 command and lunar modules were named Columbia and what?
And the Eagle.
Steve, I hate to break it to you. Steve, you can't compete with this geek. This geek is unbelievable. Because of time constraints and the fact that Steve stunk at the contest.
You want one more?
We have one. No, we're out of time.
Give him another one.
Shake. I'll give him another one.
We have no time. We're out of time. The one time I try to run this ship on time, and now Spike and Andre are doing the show without me.
Let me give him one more.
All right, one more for Steve. Steve, this is worth 1.9 points for a correct answer.
All right, Steve, okay. What was the first phrase spoken on the moon?
The first phrase on the moon or yes. At the arrival, like when they
on the moon.
Well, it's the same thing.
One small step for man.
Actual answer, was, Spike.
Okay, contact light.
But were they
contact light? I don't even know that.
That's right.
Spike, what's the backstory?
When he was when they were landing, and he says, drifting forward, 3.5, kicking up some dust. Okay, contact light, engines off, blah, blah, blah.
Wow. Well, that's kind of a trick question, but Spike gets 1.9 final points for a final total of Spike kicks Steve's butt in the geek off. Which means Spike gets to stay in retirement, and Steve is stuck with us.
I bow to you,
Spike. Steve, I'm so proud of you for being a geek, though, buddy.
I bow to you, Spike.
Spikey, thanks, buddy. Great talking to you.
Hey, man, thanks. You guys be good. I love you all.
Love you, Spike.
Love you, Spike.
Bye-bye.